today in sports betting for Friday, July 15th. I'm your host, Doug Reed. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. This is a Sports Ethos presentation. If you haven't checked us out already, head to sportsethos.com. You can get a lot of free articles each day, a list of all of our podcasts, which go across various sports from wagering to fantasy and beyond. Growing like crazy here at Sports Ethos. We're expanding quickly into fantasy football and fantasy baseball and DFS for both of those to go with all of our wagering talk. If you haven't already, check out our MLB Today podcast with Joe Arrico. He's on Twitter at JoeRRICO99. And if you're into fantasy football or even wagering, because right now JP Sticko is breaking down the NFL divisions and win totals. So check his podcast out at Fantasy Football Today. It's and on Twitter, he's at JP Sticko, JPSTICCO, doing a great job with a lot of fantasy football information, but also some wagering information as he's breaking down the win totals. So today in the baseball, big 15-game slate, but one game has already been postponed. The Mets are at Chicago and the Cubs. That won't be played, so down to 14 games. And we're going to break them all down. A few sides, but some props as well, which kind of seems to be the theme this week. So let's get right at it. In first game of the night, we have Philadelphia in Miami to face the Marlins. You get Kyle Gibson ready on the bump for the Phils, and ace Sandy Alcantara in his quest to win the NL Cy Young on the hill for the Fish. You can get the Braves at -170, You can get the Phillies at +155 as the underdog, the home Marlins -175. Total here is 7, so pitcher's duel is expected. You can get the Marlins at +130 in the run line. Can't touch that. If anything, what I'm looking at, and I think I'm going to be on this, is an Alcantara under 6.5 strikeouts prop. He's been doing really well. Not a huge strikeout pitcher, but gets a fair number. But he goes deep into games, which is kind of his MO. So right now you have him at 130 and a third innings this year, 1.73 ERA, 0.91 whip, 31 walks, and 111 Ks. On the flip side, you get Gibson at 91 and a third innings, 4.53 ERA, 25 walks, 75 strikeouts, and a 1.23 whip. But when you break down, when you look a little deeper into Alcantara's games, recently he's come in with against the Mets, 7 innings, 4 strikeouts. Against the Angels, 8 innings, 10 strikeouts. But the Angels are striking out. I think they're the number one team in strikeouts per game. So that's not unexpected. Against St. Louis, 9 innings, just 3 strikeouts. Against the Mets, 7 innings, 4 strikeouts. Against the Mets at New York, 8 innings, 8 strikeouts. Prior to that, against these Phillies, 7 and 2-thirds, 5 strikeouts. He's pitched against the Phillies twice this year. 7 and 2-thirds and 5 strikeouts, as I said. And then earlier in the year, April 14th, 6 1/3 and 5 strikeouts. So I could see him going deep. I could see him going 7-8 innings again. But at the 6.5 Ks, I like the under. It's at -120, so a reasonable price. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on that Sandy Alcantara under 6.5 Ks prop. Phillies are a little above average in strikeouts per game. I think they're about 13th or 14th in Major League Baseball, but nothing too crazy. Also looking at the first 5 under. Game total of 3.5. You get that around -125 is the best price I could see. I think Alcantara will hold the Phillies at bay, and the Marlins have not been hitting well. So Gibson could hold them down for a few innings as well. So considering that, under 3.5 in the first 5, we're going to wait on that for a little while. Next game is in Washington. And if you've been listening to my show, I've been on the fade Patrick Corbin train all year and probably still on it tonight. Get Ian Anderson, the righty on the hill. For Atlanta, you can get them at -170. And the lefty, Patrick Corbin, on the hill at +150. Total here, 9.5. You can get the road Braves at -105 on the run line. And what I'm looking at is Atlanta first 5 total of over 2.5. I got that at about -120. I think they get to Corbin. He's pitched a little better lately. His numbers, 94 2/3, 5.7 ERA, 1.67 whip. Terrible numbers, 33 walks, 83 strikeouts. On the other side, you have Anderson, 86 2/3, 4.98 ERA, 42 walks, 74 strikeouts, and 1.15 whip. So these guys are going to give up some base runners for sure, both of them. I just think the bats of the Braves are obviously so much stronger. Just trying to pull up some of Corbin's numbers recently. And he's pitched it. Everybody's saying he's coming around a little, but frankly, I don't think he is. His last game against Atlanta, which was last week, 6 innings, 8 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Prior to that, against Miami, who's not hitting anyone, 7 innings, 8 hits, 1 earned run. Prior to that, against Pittsburgh, 8 hits, 5 hits, 1 earned run. Then against Baltimore, four innings, 3 earned runs. Against Phillies, the Phillies, 3 1/3, 8 hits, 9 earned runs. Against Milwaukee, 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs. Fact is, Corbin's a two-pitch pitcher, and fastball and slider, and his slider just throws in the dirt. So there's only, if you watch him, if you study his numbers, he's a two-pitch pitcher, and if you can stay off his slider, which he often just throws in the dirt or outside the zone, and wait on the fastball, you're going to have success. And I watched this game against Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago when he went 8 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 12 strikeouts, and they were just up there flailing, a young team just flailing and everything. The next game against Miami, a bit of the same. I think you're going to see, and then he goes against the Braves, much only 4 strikeouts in 6 innings, but he did give up 8 hits, 2 walks, 4 runs. Yes, the Braves strike out. Yes, they might strike out a few times, but you've got a lot better lineup going against him. Freddie Freeman is not playing. He's a lefty, but he's not playing from what I can see. Just a lot stronger lineup going against him and a lot smarter veteran lineup. They're going to sit on that fastball, and I can see them getting some runs. So I'm on the first 5 total. Over 2.5. I'm also on the Corbin hits allowed over 5.5. I got that at minus 118. And again, if you just run through his recent games, 8 hits, 8 hits, 5 hits, 7 hits, 8 hits, 8 hits, 7 hits. His pitches, so they're letting him go in the game though. 102 pitches, 97, 113, 83, 83, 103, 91. I said before, they're paying this guy big money. They're not in win mode now. Someone's got to take the ball every fifth day. So they're just letting him go out there and get thumped. So I see the Braves, good veteran lineup, staying off that slider, putting that fastball in play and getting hits. So I'm on the Corbin hits allowed over 5.5. I got that at minus 118 at FanDuel. Going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to run through the rest of this very exciting board. We'll be back in a second. All right, the next game is one of the best rivalries in baseball, starting up in New York tonight. We get the Red Sox in town to face the Yankees. For the Red Sox, you get righty Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, and Jordan Montgomery, the lefty, is on the hill. For the Yankees, Eovaldi and the Red Sox come in at plus 145. You can get the home Yankees minus 165. Total here is 8. You can get the Yankees in a run line at plus 125. Eovaldi is back from missing a couple weeks with an injury. Comes in 68 1/3 innings, 3.16 ERA, 1.1 whip, 10 walks, 72 strikeouts. Having a very good season. Slowed down a little before his injury, but I think that was obviously injury related. Montgomery, 96 innings, 3.19 ERA, 1.03 whip, 18 walks, 76 strikeouts. He started very hot, and he has come back down to earth. Surprised his number's as large as it is. I think there's some value here at plus 145 in the Red Sox. To me, though, the game's it's not a coin flip. The Yankees are a much better team, and I'm not really sure which way to go on anything regarding the side, regarding the number. So I'm not going to touch this. Just stay away from me. Next game. Has the Kansas City Royals, pardon me, playing in Toronto against the Blue Jays. And just trying to pull up the game here. You get on the hill for the Jays, their ace this year, Alec Manoa, and veteran righty Zach Greinke on the bump for Kansas City. Much like yesterday, because the Royals have 10 guys on the restricted list because they can't play baseball in Canada because of the COVID restrictions. So they are fielding a number of rookies up from Omaha. They are plus 275. And I think they were about that number yesterday and pulled out the victory. So if you had a bet on them, you made a lot of money. The Jays come in minus 350. That's even steeper than yesterday. Total here is 8 and minus 155 on the run line for the Jays. If anything, I would lean to the under. I think Manoa comes out. He can hold the Royals at bay. Greinke's not going to be long for the game, but a veteran, maybe he goes 4 or 5 innings. And if he can keep the Jays in check, I could see the game total going under 8. Greinke comes in pitching better lately, but 72 2/3, 4.52 ERA, 1.28 whip, just 14 walks, but only 39 strikeouts. Manoa set 107 2/3 innings, 2.34 ERA, 0.98 whip, 25 walks and 97 strikeouts, having a great year. I like the Jays, not at either of those prices. So I'm looking at the under. It is at plus 100, which is a good price. I think, obviously, they're expecting runs to be scored. I just don't think that lineup, even though they won yesterday, I think they scored 3 runs against the Jays. I think the Jays can get to Greinke, put a few runs up, and Manoa holds down the roll. So I'd look to the under 8, especially at a plus 100. It's a nice price. Next game is in Tampa, where the O's are in town, an AL East battle. You get Tyler Wells as the righty on the hill for Baltimore. Luis Pino, the young righty, on the bump for Tampa. The red hot Orioles, and what are they at? 11 game win streak now, I think. +105 as the underdogs. The home Rays -125. Total here is 7.5. And you can get the Rays at +170 on the run line. Wells comes in 79 2/3 innings, 3.28 ERA, a very nice 1.05 whip, 19 walks and 53 strikeouts. So he's pitching to contact, but doing it well. Pitino has only pitched 2/3 of the innings this year, but he is a good prospect. And I don't think typical Rays fashion, he's not long. I'd be surprised if he goes more than once through the order. So maybe gets into the third inning at most, and then they get to their very strong bullpen. Hard to handicap this game because the Orioles have been playing so well, but Tampa at home in their bullpen is always a juggernaut. So stay away from me. I don't think there's a lot of value at +105 on the Orioles, although they have been playing well. I'm not going to touch the Rays at -125 or that run line. Maybe an over 7.5, but I don't really like the Rays bats to score a lot of runs. It's at +105, so you get a decent plus price, but maybe an over of 705. Next game, we have Detroit continuing their series in Cleveland, and you get veteran righty Drew Hutchison on the hill and Zach Plesac, the righty for the Guardians, on the hill. You can get the road Tigers +165, the home Guardians -185. Total here is 8.5. Juice to the under at -115, and the Guardians at +115 on the run line. I like the Guardians. I like them a fair bit. Hutchison's done all right. 35 1/3 innings, 4.08 ERA, 1.36 whip. Too many walks, 17 walks, so almost half a walk in inning, and not enough strikeouts, 22 strikeouts. And Plesac comes in 90 1/3 innings, 3.99 ERA, 1.25 whip, 23 walks, and 65 strikeouts. So both guys pitching to contact. I like Cleveland. I like their bats. I like Plesac a little better, but not at -185. And I'm not really sure I can back them. +115 run line is a decent price, but not a great price. So probably a stay away from me. If anything, I might look for the under 805. It is juiced to -115, but the Tigers' bats have just been so cold. I don't see them getting a lot of runs in this game. I am looking at Hutchison under 2.5K strikeout prop, and I know that's crazy low, and I would rarely take a prop that low, but when you look at his numbers, so this guy's been a journeyman, bounced around for a number of years, but in this season, he's faced Cleveland once, 5 innings, two strikeouts. In his starts so far this year, he's had 4 starts, 5 innings, sorry, 6 innings against the White Sox, 3 strikeouts, 5 innings against these Guardians, 2 strikeouts, 4 2/3 against Texas, 1 strikeout, and 4 innings against the White Sox, 1 strikeout. Now, they are letting him get into the mid to high 80s pitch counts. They're letting him get a little higher, but he's basically, strikeout total has gone 3-2-1-1. So I'm looking maybe under 2.5 Ks. I see it at -110. Cleveland's number 19 in strikeouts, the 19th best team in strikeouts. They don't strike out a ton, but about 8.33 for 9 innings, and on the road, 8.13. So looking, going to consider that one. Hutchison under 2.5 Ks. Indians don't Guardians don't strike out a lot, and Hutchison probably isn't too long for this game if Cleveland can get to him, which I think they can. If he goes maybe 5 innings, I think that's a reasonable expectation that he could cash that under prop. We move on to we move out west to Texas, where the AL West battle between the Mariners and the Rays. And you get Robbie Ray on the hill, who seems to have turned things around, the veteran lefty for Seattle, and Matt Bush, the righty for Texas. Seattle comes in at -160 favorites. The home Rangers +140. Total here is 8. Juice to the under, -120. And you can get the M's on the run line at +110. They are very hot as well and doing well. Ray is 110 1/3 innings, 3.51 ERA, 1.11 whip, 38 walks, and a very sparkling 123 strikeouts. Matt Bush, 29 2/3, 3.64 ERA, 1.15 whip, 9 walks and 40 strikeouts. So he's striking out some guys too. In this game, I look at the Seattle money line at -160. I'm not sure I can get there. So maybe on their run line at +110. Ray's just been pitching so well lately. When I look at his recent game log, he started the season off slow after signing that big contract after winning Cy Young in Toronto. And he seems to have righted the ship, though. So in his last number of games against those Jays, 6 innings, just gave up 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts. Against Oakland, 6 2/3, 1 earned run, 12 strikeouts. Against Baltimore, 7 innings, no earned runs, 8 strikeouts. Against Oakland, 6 innings, 1 earned run, six strikeouts against the Angels, seven innings, one earned run, 10 strikeouts against Boston, seven innings, no earned runs, four strikeouts. So he's done well, not the greatest competition, but he did well against Boston. The Orioles, who are hot at the end of June, he did well against them, and he shut the Jays down. So I can see him shutting Texas down, which is why I'm looking to their money line. If I can get it, if I could get 140, 145, I'd be on it, but 160 is a little steep. So probably pivot to the run line, getting some plus money there, Seattle around plus 110. Next game is an interesting one, for me at least. And we have the White Sox. Where are we here? Yes, the White Sox in Minnesota to face the Twins. Just trying to pull up the pitching matchups here. You get righty Michael Kopech on the hill for the Sox and lefty Devin Smeltzer on the hill for Minnesota. Sox come in plus 120. Underdogs, the Twins are at home, minus 140 favorites. Total here is 9, so some runs expected to be scored. And you can get the Twins at plus 145 on the run line. And for me, though, I'm actually on the Sox money line at plus 120. I think if you listen to the show before, you've heard this. As bad as the Sox have been this year, they are very good against left-handed pitching. Right now, versus lefties, they're hitting 288, which is the best in baseball. Their on-base percentage is 345, second best, and they're slugging 459, number one again. So I think they can get to Smeltzer. He's had a decent year, 59 two-thirds innings, 3.92 ERA, 1.16 whip, 15 walks, 36 strikeouts. So pitching to contact, not getting a lot of strikeouts. Kopech, on the other hand, is interesting. He comes in with a 2-6 record, but his numbers, he should have a lot better record. 78 innings, 3.35 ERA, 1.14 whip, 38 walks, and 72 strikeouts. So he's been pitching well. He's just not getting the run support, which is kind of the whole story behind the White Sox this year. But I think going against the lefty Smeltzer, they stand a chance to put up some runs and potentially back him. And it's such a nice price of plus 120. I'm happy to jump on that. Might watch that close to game time. If it gets even better, I will be on that. But I'm definitely looking towards the White Sox money line at plus 120. Next game, we have the Astros, and they are hosting the Oakland A's. Lefty Cole Irvin is on the hill for Oakland, and righty Jake Odorizzi on bump once again for Houston. These guys have played a lot lately. I think he's faced them like three times this year. Anyways, Oakland comes in plus 175. Underdog, you can get the home Astros minus 210. Total here at 8, juice to the under minus 115. And you get the Astros at plus 105 on the run line, which is a number I like. I like them to win. I like them to win fairly easy. And I just can't back it. Minus 210 run line. So I'm going to, money line. So I'm going to probably look to the run line. When I look at this, just pulling up these numbers, yeah, Odorizzi this year, he's just faced Oakland once, although that was in his last turn through the rotation. Seven innings, four hits, no earned runs, one walk, seven strikeouts. Irvin has faced Houston twice this year. Six innings, five hits, two earned runs, no walks, two strikeouts. 5 2/3, six hits, one earned run, two walks, two strikeouts. So he's done fairly well. But I think pitching matchup is probably fairly even, slight lean to Odorizzi, and the bats obviously aren't even close. And as you know, Oakland can score one or two runs a game with the best of them. So I'm on the Astros. I would look to maybe even the under. I think Odorizzi can hold Oakland at bay and limit them to one or two runs. And the under of 8, juice to 115, I might consider that. But I think I'm going to be on the run line for Houston at plus 105. Next game of the night sees the Reds in St. Louis to take on the Cards. You've got two young righties on the bump, Hunter Green for the Reds and Andre Pallante for St. Louis. The Reds come in plus 130. The home Cards at minus 150. Total here, 8.5. You can get the run line for the Cards at plus 130. Not in this game. Hunter Green has been fantastic this year, but not so good. Not fantastic. Exciting to watch. He's shown signs of brilliance. I think this kid's going to be long for Major League Baseball. He's going to be here a while, but he's been inconsistent. 3-10 record, 85 and 1/3 innings pitched, 1.34 whip, 5.7 ERA, 37 walks to 107 strikeouts. Pallante, 65 innings, 3.18 ERA, 1.43 whip, 23 walks, 42 strikeouts. So you've got one guy who's walking too many and missing bats, one guy's walking too many and pitching to contact. So it should be an interesting game. It's probably why the total's at 100, at 8.5, juice to be over at minus 115. That's just a lot of runs. And with Green, he can go out and shut the team down for 6-7 innings. He can also go out and give up 5 or 6 runs in the first 5 innings. So not really sure which angle to take here. So this game is a stay away from me. Next game, we head out to the mountains in Colorado. We've got Pittsburgh in town and the lefty Jose Quintana on the hill and Herman Marquez on the bump for Colorado. You can get Pittsburgh at plus 130 on the money line, and the home Rockies at minus 150. Total here is 11. Juice to the over at minus 115. You can get the Rockies on the run line at plus 130. And that's the number I'm actually looking at. And the reason being is Colorado. I was on this earlier in the week against San Diego and Sean Manaea, and Sean Manaea completely shut them down. But Quintana's been doing well this year, but he's no Sean Manaea. Quintana's got 85 and a third innings, 3.59 ERA, 1.31 whip, 27 walks to 78 strikeouts. Marquez comes in 97 innings, 5.66 ERA, 1.47 whip, 37 walks, 81 strikeouts. Quintana's had some good starts this year for sure, but in Colorado against the lefty is not a good formula. So Colorado in general versus lefties, hitting 287, number 2 in the majors. On base percentage is 348, best in the majors. Slugging 444, fifth best in the majors. Then at home, in general, at home against anybody, their batting average 283, number 1 in the majors. On base 349, number 1 in the majors. And slugging 460, tied with the Blue Jays for number 1 in the majors. So they hit well at home, obviously, and they hit lefties very well in general. So I'm going to be on the Rockies run line. I think there's a lot of runs to be scored, so maybe a bigger spread there at plus 130. I'm also looking at CJ Cron total bases over 1.5. He has been an absolute machine at home this year. I can just pull up his numbers. At home this year, and what do we have? 47 games, 200 plate appearances. He's hitting 352, 11 doubles, 1 triple, 15 homers. On base 392, slugging 670. He's doing a fantastic job. He's playing today, a righty going against Quintana, the lefty. So I'm going to go over his 1.5 total bases prop. It's at minus 115. And there's also an interesting prop. I don't usually play these, but I figure it's a fun one to have some action here. The total bases matchup. So you have Jake Mariznek, who I have listed as the ninth hitter. He's probably going to hit higher in the order. But for some reason, when I looked, it had him suggested batting at the bottom of the order versus Cron, who's hitting number 4. So the matchup prop is total bases, Mariznek versus Cron, and I get Cron at minus 105. So I think he's going to get on, if he can get a couple singles or a double, home run, versus Mariznek, who is a righty going against Marquez, who's a righty. So I'm happy to take Cron there at minus 105, a little fun prop. Matchup play. Next game tonight, second last game. We are in San Diego, and the D-backs are in town for an NL West battle. We have veteran lefty Madison Bumgarner on the hill and veteran righty Yu Darvish on the bump for the Padres. 5-6 years ago, this would have been the pitching matchup of the night. Now, I'm not sure Bumgarner can hold up that end of the bargain anymore. Either the D-backs plus 165. On the money line, the home Pods at minus 185. Total here is 7.5. Juice to the under at minus 120. And you get the Padres at plus 115 on the run line. Bumgarner comes in the season 91 and a third innings, 3.65 ERA, 1.35 whip, 29 walks, and 66 strikeouts. So not mowing guys down the way he used to. Darvish 101 and a third innings, 3.38 ERA, 0.99 whip, 20 walks, 91 strikeouts. Having a kind of typical Darvish year. A good year, a few blemishes here and there, but a good year. I like the Padres. I just don't like them at minus 185. That's a tough one to stomach. And even on the run line at plus 115, that's a little hard to get to. What I do like, though, or I'm looking at, I'm not sure I'm there yet, but I'm looking at, is a prop on Bumgarner total outs under 16.5. So he's going deep, not deep in games, but he's going over 100 pitches in each of his last, well, 5 of his last 7 starts. 85 and 1, 91 and the other. So they're letting him get to the 100 pitch mark. But in his last number of starts, he's went, so 16.5 would be, he has to get over 5 2/3. And I'm looking to the under, so 5 1/3 basically. 7 innings against Colorado, prior to that, five innings against San Fran, five innings against these Padres, four hits, one earned run, three walks, four strikeouts. Four innings before that at San Diego, nine hits, six runs, four earned, no walks, five strikeouts. Six innings against Minnesota, five innings against Philly, five innings against Cincinnati. So he's gotten over that two of the last seven games he's pitched. And I just think San Diego has the ability to get to him. He's walking a few too many guys. He's not striking guys. So, yeah, they're letting him go deep into the pitch count. But he's pitching more to contact than he ever has. And I think San Diego has the ability to put up some runs or at least get to him a little. And I could see him not lasting more than five and a third. So I'm looking on the under 16.5 Madison Bumgarner outs. And that is at minus 105, the number I saw. Final game of the night is in San Francisco. And we've got the Brewers by Brandon Woodruff. And you can get them at minus 130 as the favorites. And the home Giants with Alex Wood, their lefty on the hill, at plus 110. Total here is 7. And you can get the Brewers at plus 140 on the run line. But I think I like the Milwaukee money line, plus 130, maybe a little too steep for me. Going to see if that comes down to 125 or so before the game. Woodruff's come back a couple outings since he was injured, doing well. And Alex Wood has been fairly inconsistent all year. Woodruff comes in 16 two-thirds innings, 4.01 ERA, 16 walks, 80 strikeouts, 1.14 whip. Again, though, he had some really bad outings to start this year, so those numbers are definitely skewed towards the start of the year in a negative way. Wood, on the other hand, 85 and a third innings, 4.43 ERA, 1.27 whip, 12 walks, 87 strikeouts. He's had kind of an up and down year, and the Giants' bats are not helping anybody lately. So if anything, I lean to Milwaukee. I lean them to get the win. Wood did pitch well against the Padres last time out, seven innings, three hits, no earned runs, a walk, and eight strikeouts. But he hasn't been going in very deep in games. And he's been going five and a third most of the games. And then you get to the bullpen, which has not been as strong as it was last year. His pitch totals, they're letting him, if he's doing well, getting to maybe 90, high 80s, 90. Woodruff's last two outings since he came back, last three outings since he came back, his pitch total 76, 94, 92. So they're letting him get deeper into games, six innings, five innings. Gave up six innings, three earned runs to the Pirates, six innings, no earned runs against the Pirates, five innings, one earned run against Tampa. And in those games, had strikeouts of 9, 8, and 10. So seems to be figuring things out. Going deeper into pitch counts because he gets a lot of strikeouts. I just like the Brewers here. Their bats aren't super hot, but neither are the Giants, and I think Woodruff is a better pitcher than Wood. So at minus 130, maybe a little steep. If I can get that a little cheaper, I'd be on that for sure. So that's the 14-game wrap for tonight. Hope you found some signs and totals. Certainly a few props have been thrown in there. But before I go, if you haven't already, check out our partners at Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com and use the code HOOPBALL20. That's HOOPBALL20 at time of checkout for 20% off your order and free shipping. And like I said earlier, if you haven't gone to our Sports Ethos website yet, check out sportsethos.com. Go there, a lot of information, free information, list of all our podcasts, articles posted quite often, and you can see some of our packages. I'm part of the Wager Pass group. And for that, you can get that for $15 a month. You get all my handicapping, all our other guys in the baseball division, or the wagering division, but baseball. We've got some AFL, Aussie Rules football in there. We've got regular tennis, and that's just going through the summer. Once the fall hits, we're going to ramp up in college football, NFL, it's props, fantasy advice, and then obviously basketball and hockey when that gets going again in the fall. So check out sportsethos.com. A lot of information there, a lot of worthwhile information, and very reasonable price packages. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you found some plays, some signs, some totals, some props, and hope you can make some money, and we'll catch you soon.